as we've been going through this whole period since January 1st, we want to concentrate on our heritage and as Dwayne prayed, whose we are. And the idea of, you know, whose we are. Do we really realize, you know, the idea of being a child of the living God? Somehow, I have the thought that Bill Gates' son is not ashamed to say he's a Gates. Or somehow we see that it's so important when you are the child of someone, say the President of the United States, that their children for the rest of their lives get Secret Service protection. Simply, they never ran for an office. They, you know, you think of President Obama's girls, they probably don't even know when all this started, what was entailed in running for office. But because of whose they are, a commitment has been made wherever you go and whenever you need it, there's protection there. Our eyes will be on you for the rest of your lives. And that's just the child of a president. And it doesn't matter whether it's Chelsea Clinton or Amy Carter or the Obama girls. Because of whose they are. How come we can easily accept that? But when we hear, you're the child of the living... Do you know who you are? I am the child of the living God. That's who I am. And so we want to look at what that means in just a small way today. And then we'll continue on with the heritage in a different sphere next week. But we've looked at God taught and God moved and clouded thinking, and we just want to look today at a little different aspect of it. So let's bow our heads before we go there. Father, we come because, Father, as Peter said, where else could we go? Father, there are many voices calling, but for what we need, there is only one source. We need wisdom. We need strength. As so often is said, we need a word. And Father, we realize that all the other voices are from men, humans. We haven't come to hear the words of men. We've come to hear the words of our Father. So annihilate the servant. Resurrect yourself, your Son, and your Spirit. What's been prepared, Father, by humans, do away with it. And serve up what you have for your children on your day. We just thank you for it, and we receive it, and we praise you for it. In Jesus' name, amen. The idea of whose we are and what we are, it would be, I guess, if you had to describe our heritage, they made a movie one time called The Night of the Living Dead. And then they made another movie called Dead Men Walking. And that's who we are. Dead people walking. Now, read a true story about a young man named Dathan. Dathan was about 6'6", between 280, 300 pounds. He was being scouted by the NFL. He lived out in the Los Angeles area. He was being scouted by the NFL, and he wanted to play, but his dream was to make it in Hollywood. And Dathan, in his late 20s, still trying, NFL, and when you think about the NFL still looking at somebody 26, 27 years old, usually their careers at that point are, they've been pretty beaten up. They've played college ball, high school ball, and if they survived the injuries through that, but he's still being looked at. When he meets a young lady and she introduces him to Jesus Christ, and he was the type of person, or is the type of person, that when he walks into a room, first off, kind of like Curry O'Neill, just his size draws attention. And Dathan had a personality to go with it. And they knew it was just a matter of time before either the NFL was going to draft him or Hollywood was going to give him a curtain call, so to speak. And this young lady introduced him to Jesus Christ and then introduces him to his pastor about a year after that, and because she didn't know how to break to him that when you love somebody, you make a commitment. If you love a man or a woman, you know, whichever gender you are, hopefully the opposite, you make a commitment to that person through a public ceremony we call marriage. But she didn't know how to get it across to Dathan, so she brought him to the pastor to ask him about being baptized. So the pastor, who, living in L.A., they were close to water, would always go down to the beach because he loved the idea that it was outside. Do y'all remember when we went down to Colonial Beach and did a baptism? How different that was. That isn't where we planned to go. We started out somewhere else. But we ended up at Colonial Beach. And what it was, you could feel the spirit there. We're at Colonial Beach. This was before the hurricane hit and destroyed everything. And the whole pier lined up with people just to watch. They didn't know what was going on. And we had the baptism there. You know, we had rode up on our motorcycles and cars, and we just had this baptism. And so the pastor said, this always happened when they went down to the beach. And so he talked to Dathan, and he said, Dathan, I know you've been friends with so-and-so for a while, and I know you love Jesus. It's time, Dathan, to make a commitment. And Dathan's saying, oh, I'm committed. He said, in Christianity, the way we make the commitment is through the waters of baptism. And Dathan said, that's fine. He says, well, we go down to the beach and baptized. He said, and all the blood left Dathan's face. And he said, this huge, charismatic man said, the beach? He said, Dathan, is there a problem? He said, no. He said, what's the problem? He said, I'm not ready. What's the problem, Dathan? And they sat there for over an hour until Dathan finally told him when he was 8 years old, he was at the beach and watched his friend get eaten by a shark. And he hadn't gone in the water, not the ocean. Now he goes in the pools. He said, I can do a pool. I can do a baptismal. But pastor, I can't do the beach. I love the pastor. Never met him, as I was reading, but I love him. He said, yes, you could. He said, we have pools and we have baptismals. Dathan, you have to go to the beach. Why? The pastor didn't know what to do then, what to say. He said, well, look at it this way, Dathan. He's trying to reassure Dathan that everything's going to be okay. He says, Dathan, do you trust and believe in Jesus? Yes, I do. He says, then if we go down to the beach and have the baptism and a shark comes up and eats you, wouldn't that be God's will? Didn't reassure Dathan a whole lot. He said, but if we go down the beach and a shark doesn't eat you, either you've let your fear control your life all these years, or God really has something big planned for your life. You know, normally, Dathan, he said, I give the people a choice, but I'm not giving you a choice. You either go to the beach, or God can't use you. And the pastor said, I don't know why I told him that. And this past Wednesday, as we were in the car, I heard a woman, I believe it was pastor, talking about, and I didn't realize it as I was reading the story, how she said, women, it's trust and obey. They want the security. God uses women, like with, I don't know, some kind of wild idea of maybe an income tax check that you didn't cash. Trust God. Can I trust you this time? Now, only God knew, had to check, because she sure didn't. But with women, it's trust and obey. This pastor didn't know what he was doing at the time. But when I heard this woman say it, it made sense. Men follow because of risk and obey. Adventure, you know, how are we going to get through this? I don't know, but isn't it exciting? Men follow because of adventure. It's the way, it's the adventurous side of God. How are we going to pay our taxes, Jesus? I don't know, go fishing. That's not security. That's not security. This pastor realized it without even knowing it. He had to challenge Nathan, or Dathan his name was. Dathan knew, he knew this man who's trying out for the NFL, trying to get into Hollywood, is risking everything. Let's face it. You go into the NFL, you're not even sure you're going to get into the game. The practices could end your career. You risk everything. There's a game this weekend called the Pro Bowl. I don't know why any professional athlete would ever play in the Pro Bowl. They go out there and they get hit and it could end their career. Just like that. Then I realize they risk. It's the risk. It's the adventure in it. And so Dathan, he said, I'm giving you time to think and pray about it. Take as much time as you want, Dathan. I'll call you in an hour. I love this pastor. Yeah. And so that weekend, they went down to the beach. And they had the baptism. That Monday, he got a call from Hollywood. to play in a small part with some small actors, Nicolas Cage. And so he went from nothing to Nicolas Cage. And so he's all excited and he goes down. And the pastor, after his baptism, read this text in Romans chapter 6. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death, in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. Just as Jesus was buried and come up dead. He said, Dathan, you are now a dead man walking. You walk as other dead men, as Jesus, were raised with him in newness of life. And Dathan goes and takes the job, and it comes a point in the show, he's reading the script, and he says, I can't do that. What do you mean you can't do it? You took the job. Dathan said, you don't understand. I'm a Christ follower, and I can't do that scene. Can you get a double? And they said, yes, we can, but we won't. You have to make a choice, Dathan. You have a choice to make. And he thought they would understand. He said, you don't understand. I'm not the person I was a few weeks ago. I'm now a dead man walking. And they said, well, your career will be dead if you don't do this scene, because you will never get another call from this studio. I don't know what Dathan is doing today, but he didn't do the scene. See, that's where it breaks down for us as Christians. We think we're live people walking, and we get to make choices and decisions. We made that decision when we said, yes, I will follow you. I am committed to you, and from here on out, you make my decisions. I will do what you did. I will live as you lived. The whole idea of, and it amazes me that people want to make decisions when the decisions have already been made for them. That's why last week we said it's not about churches want you to decide about what's right and what's wrong. God doesn't want you to decide about what's right and what's wrong. He wants you to decide what's good and what's evil. And if it's evil, you don't have a decision to make. Dathan, you need to be a dead person walking. You need to be able to say, that's evil. What part, I believe, if you read the book, it's in there. What part does righteousness have with evil? And he says at some points, even the appearance of it. What are people going to think? How is this going to help your witness? The idea of dead person walking is exemplified in that story, true story about Dathan. He didn't take the part. He would have before his baptism. And the pastor said, I don't even know why I never read that text at baptisms. He said, of course, I never give people ultimatums either for baptisms. Usually, it's I'll baptize them wherever and whenever and however they want. I mean, we've done that. We've done, people called us on the phone not too awful long ago and said, can you baptize, you know, so-and-so? Yeah, well, we don't want anybody there. Okay. We'll still do the baptism. So after church, we went down to the river. Everybody, I don't know, I guess they went to our house. And we went down to the river and had a private baptism. Private, in the river. We've done private baptisms in a church on a Wednesday night. They said, yeah, can you do it Wednesday night when nobody's at church? Yes, we can do that. And this pastor said he would do the same thing, but something told him this time you either have to risk it all. You know, it's kind of odd. Both those baptisms were for females that I did. You know, security. You know, trust and obey. With men, risk and obey. He knew he had to present it to him. And that's how you get the whole picture of God. Why do you think he says it's not good for man to be alone? Because trust only isn't enough. There's risk involved. Did the Father trust his Son? Yes, but he gave him a free will, so there was risk involved. Trust and risk gives you the whole picture of God. Neither one is right, neither one is wrong. Everybody has some, but think about it. You know, as Dwayne was talking about, you know, just this and then we'll be happy. Just this and then we'll be happy. You know, and that's what, if I could just have, you know, we had a doctor friend in Portsmouth who told us, he said, I knew if I could get $1 million in the bank, I could retire and be happy. He said, and then Black Monday came. And I had $1 million. He said, and the key word there is had. When we left the organization, it, you know, every month they would take out of my pay besides my regular retirement. And I had grown a fund, yeah, to probably around $60,000-$70,000. And our economy has grown that to almost $18,000 now. Yeah. And you know what? I'm not sweating it. Yeah. I'm anxious to see how God's going to support me. Yeah. Give me that kind of a lifestyle. Aaron, when he called me from home a couple days ago, not here, Florida, he said, now I see what you, this is wonderful. We just had him down there with us in November of, or May, whatever it was. Yeah. But there was something different. Why? Because he took a risk. He didn't know how he was going to do it. And somebody who was with him said, I can't afford to do that. We can't afford it either. Yeah. If you can only do, men, ladies, you can just tune me out here. Men, think of what you've ever achieved in life without some risk. Yeah. I thought when I went to college, everybody got a job. I mean, I'm a pastor. Who wouldn't want to hire a pastor? It was only after I was down there, they said, you know, our school has the best hiring rate. We're at 40% of our pastors get hired. I said, what? You mean I quit the job I had, and we left the house that told Kay we'll never have to move again. And we got in a van and moved down, and now you're telling me I have a 40% chance of getting a job? And I got excited. And I started sending out resumes. And they said, you don't send out resumes till next year. I said, that's not that, you know. Something just said, send out resumes. And before anyone else, there were two people who were hired before the senior year started. And that was myself and my buddy Crazy Dave. He had John Paul's pastor. The only two people, were the only two people that sent out resumes. Other people were saying, somebody said, you know, they might have a place for me. I'd say, that's a definite maybe. Risk, man. I'm telling you, risk. That's how you go. Nobody. I mean, think about, I love salmon. Think about what they do to reproduce. The risk they take. If they make it upstream, there's somebody waiting to catch them and sell them to you so you can go down to Bonefish and have them. Think about it. And then he says to the women, like the woman who brought Dathan, she knew her pastor. She knew he wasn't going to say, oh, that's okay. But she had to trust him. Do you notice where Carol went when she said, we had some money left, but no cushion? See, that's the difference between trust and risk. See, trust is saying, we only have a little left. I don't know how we're going to make it. Risk is saying we have nothing left, but we're going ahead anyhow. For Mary, God gave her security, brought three wise men, gold, frankincense, and myrrh. For Joseph, he had to give up his business and go into a foreign land. Yeah. Mary, I mean, look, we've got enough money to live in Egypt till it's time. Joseph is going, I'm a carpenter, they build with stone. Yeah. Risk. Both were blessed. Both were blessed. See, the idea of God is a whole God. And he says, from here on out, I don't want you to have to think. I don't want you. I will do your thinking for him, for you. I will say, this is the way, walk ye in it. I will order your steps. I will teach you to number your days. It says in here, teach us to number. Who's going to teach you? Me? I can't teach you. Here's the way I do it. Give it all to me before something bad happens to you. Isn't that the way TV preachers do it? You know, you might be required, your life might be, so you might as well give it now. He says, I will teach you when to give, when not to give, when to laugh, when to cry. There is a time. Who knows the time? Me? No. He does. So he says, if you become like my son, let's face it, people. Jesus was in trouble at age 12 when he went to the temple. They had him pegged then. Jesus was actually in trouble when he was born in a manger. But never had he been in trouble like he was when he came up out of the Jordan that day. And a voice from heaven spoke, "You are my heritage, in whom I am well pleased." Remember what Ezekiel, we read Ezekiel chapter 6 last week, where he says, "When I demonstrate my holiness through you, trust, risk, through you, in the way you risk it all, tear down this temple, and in 3 days, that's risk, that's bold. Unless you put an end to something, there's no risk. And unless God tells you to do it, you're foolish to get up and say it." And I hate to let the cat out of the bag, but people start listening to the prayers up front. Start listening. Because I don't think people are hearing all the time. Talking to Kay, I said, "Do you notice not too long ago we were praying and I wouldn't pray for healing?" I said, "Did you notice that in the prayer? Never prayed for healing for the person." Why? God didn't tell me to risk it. When he tells me to risk it, I'm up here saying, "Do it." When he doesn't, dead people walking, see, they can't do anything to me if I'm already, they can't hurt me. Yeah, they can take my money. How does that hurt me? We were coming back Wednesday very slowly. It took us an hour to get from Orange to Wilderness. An hour. Yeah, it always seems like an hour, but this time it was. And as we're leaving Orange, there were must have been 200 cows. I said, "You know, we're going to get home okay because he owns the cattle on 1,000 hills. You know, he gives us reminders. We risk it. Are we going down to Lynchburg today?" I said, "Well, you know, if it takes us 4 hours to get home, it's going to take us 4 hours to get home. But we made a commitment to go. We're going to go." That didn't take us 4 hours. It took us a little over 3. You know. But I know Kay felt a lot better when we turned on the Quarter Avenue. You know. People, he wants the world to see him through you. Raised dead as his son was raised dead. I do nothing of my own will. I only do the will of him who sent me. I'm assuming at some point I'm going to be either hearing a sermon on TBN and the preacher will stand up and he'll say, "My name is Dathan. Let me tell you my story." Or by Dathan, "I survived baptism at the beach." Yeah, think about it. What must have gone through his mind as he step by step. Remember the Three Stooges? They used to go, "Niagara Falls." Step, but slowly I turn. Step by step, inch by inch. Is that a fin I saw? I know it's a fin. And the pastor goes, They're just porpoise that God sent to protect you. Porpoise don't smile like that. I can't imagine what was going through his mind as he went into the water. I know what was put in his mind when he came out of the water with Christ. Therefore, we were buried with him by baptism into death in order that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, so we too may walk in a new way of life. Hollywood, that's what I wanted. That's not what he gave. I don't know what you want, but I know he has a plan for you. And he will provide. If you trust or risk. Is it gender specific? Now there are some women daredevils, you know. But you remember Evel Knievel? How many of you ever thought he would make it across Snake River Canyon? He didn't even think it. Otherwise, why would he put a parachute on his bike? Yeah. I know I can do it. The mattresses are down there, right? Parachute. Snake River. I mean, think about it. Risk. And how many of us thought he would make it? Why watch it? He's not going to make it. You want to watch? See, to put it in Fonzie language, 2011 is our jump the shark year. We either do it or we don't. This is our defining year, people. Let's bow our heads. Father, we know you have called us. We know you have told us that you have raised us in the newness of life, Father. Teach us, Father, to either risk it all and do what you say, or trust you so much that we do what you say. Father, either way, it ends up being obedient. Trust and obey, risk and obey, either way, it's following you all the way. Because of the commitment we made and because of the God you are, oh, Father, order our steps as you ordered your Son's steps, not always pleasant, but always victorious. Some weeks seem like they're all Fridays. And what keeps us going is we know Sunday's coming. Father, guide us and use us to glorify yourself so that the world, as Ezekiel says, can see your holy character, because you have chosen to do it through us. Whatever we don't face alone. We face it through the strength you put in us, through the wisdom you put in us. Develop us, Father, into what you would have us be, so that in that day we can hear, "Well done, thou good and faithful servant." Thank you, Father, for hearing. Thank you for promising it and providing it. In Jesus' name, we thank you. I don't know why the pastor didn't use this text, but he didn't. So I will today. He could have said to Dathan, "For I know the plans that I have for you." This is the Lord's declaration. my plans step by step, inch by inch. God, why do you want to do that? I saw my 8-year-old friend being eaten by a shark. Wasn't that enough? My plans are for your welfare and not for your disaster. My plans aren't to get you a job in the NFL or a curtain call from Hollywood. My plans are to give you a future and a blessed hope. You will call to me, and you will come to me, and you will pray to me, and I will listen to you. You will seek me, and you will find me when you search for me with all your heart.